You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bizzle Fuma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
NFL Total Access is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
It's Wednesday, April 3rd, and you're listening to NFL Total Access, the podcast.
That is the voice of today's special guest who doesn't have a lot of time, so I won't bore him with a long dissertation on why I love him and why you should too. So let's get right to it and welcome back to the pod, the Sweet Potato Kid, the host of NFL Total Access, the broadcast, Mike Yam.
So I'm already derailing this thing even though we're short on time. One, there's some weirdness going on in this studio. I almost like feel like I'm hearing like a TV show.
Yeah, there's
and
ghosts.
You sound weird
ghosts
to me.
Of the past. My voice is screwed. 10 minutes before I walked in here, something happened. I don't know what we're dealing with.
I actually know what happened. Because I know you were yelling at some young PA.
Probably was. I was probably yelling at somebody. I thank
Not
you so
all.
Much for making the time for us today. And here's how we're going to spend it. I am your host, NFL Network senior writer Andrew Levy. And on today's show, our countdown to the draft continues in the division of the Giants and the Eagles and the Commanders. And of course, the defending division champion, Cowboys. Dallas, D.C., Philly, and New York, just like I pictured it. Say what you will about the NFC East. It's got market size for days, doesn't it? And a pretty glorious history, too, which I'm going to expound upon shortly. We're also going to open up the doors to the NFL Hall of Fans. Cue the music. That's right. It's all part of our countdown to the draft. Today, we're going to hear from a group of fans who are known for being demure, reluctant to share their opinions, hushed tones when they do. You know, fans from Philly, New York, D.C., and Dallas. NFC East fans clamoring outside the Hall of Fans. Only a few are getting in. All have something to say. Oh, please, kill that music. Thanks, Coop. Okay, Mike Yam. You are a prince for giving us a few minutes. Mike has actually just done a round of interviews, a couple of NFL prospects. You can catch all of Mike's work on the TA broadcast. That's weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on NFL Network. I don't like just calling out Eastern time names. We live on the West Coast
bias. Here
Let's
we go.
Honor the four. It's 4 p.m. on the West Coast.
1,000%.
All right. You make the transition when you hear that East Coast.
Yeah, plus three,
add
minus
three.
Three. One or the other. Yeah.
Okay.
Carry the one.
But so grateful for your time on a day when you should be here. It's NFC East Day. You got to be in the chair. So let's get to work. Now, before we get your fan take, Hostetler fanboy, let's get to a note or two of analysis from you. Some overarching thoughts to start. NFC West has the Niners. The North has the Lions. There's your top performing NFC teams from a season ago. The Cowboys win the East, but they crash out spectacularly at home to the Packers in the wild card round. Eagles limp into the playoffs. They still get a 5 seed, but they crash out on the road to Baker's boys in Tampa Bay. My Commanders stutter early. Your Giants suffer all season.
Yep.
Then you lose Saquon to the Eagles, your most hated division rival, Mike Yam. Everybody has one. Makes them better. Cowboys keep saying they're all in, but no one can figure out what that means. Commanders are becoming something. Might be good. We'll see. But it's a moment of creation. And I should think, Mike, that the Giants are similar, just in a more advanced stage of creation. All to say, the division seems open. to me, it seems uncertain, unclear, no discernible hierarchy, not right now. Maybe bottom two, top two, I don't know. Forgive the link to us for that bottom two. But there's something blurry for me about the NFC East. Mike Yam, can you help me clear it up?
I read it the same way that you do. Now, if you, and I think you're going to end up asking me how I think the division is going to shape up, I think that this NFC East is truly gettable. Like, right, like we've talked about it, the amount of years that there hasn't been a repeat champion or division winner, I should say, in like 20 plus years. Yes. It is something along those lines. Yes. And
2004, that was the last year of that little mini streak that the Eagles had when they won three straight.
That's going to stay intact, because the one thing, and I wouldn't say I feel overly confident, I don't feel great about Dallas repeating as division champs again, right? So it is gettable. I still think Philly's the leader of the pack, but I think the way that you characterize Washington and New York is dead on. This is a Commanders team that spent about $100 million in the offseason, right? Yes. Like, they are becoming something. And I do agree with you. The Giants, quite frankly, a six-win campaign a year ago, I didn't see happening because of what we saw two seasons ago. But when you're throwing out, no disrespect, Tommy DeVito as your quarterback, and Tyrod Taylor goes down and Daniel Jones goes down, like, there are some problems that are there. And an offensive line that was a revolving door. The Giants should have been better, but because of some injuries, and it sounds like a cop-out, but because of injuries, I think that's why we're talking about the Giants having the 6th overall pick with a 6-win campaign.
And of course, we've got the number 2 overall pick with a 4-win campaign. Yeah. So certainly the bottom in terms of the, you know, the class of the outfit, we were the bottom two for sure. We were certainly the worst of the group.
Like, assuming, whatever, it's Caleb or Jaden or any of these guys.
Yes.
You're a Commanders fan.
Yes.
If I said to you they get the guy that you like, whoever that player is at the quarterback, knowing the money that they've spent in this entire offseason, knowing that the division is gettable, would you be surprised if Washington won the NFC East?
I actually would, because we're not a quarterback away, okay, right? I feel like you guys are closer. You have a proven quarterback. For whatever your thoughts are on Danny Dimes, and for whatever thoughts you have about what the Giants should do or could do in the draft, I think you are closer to that team that surprised people two seasons ago than we are to the team that surprised people three seasons ago, right? So I would be surprised. Yes, I would be surprised if we went from worst to first. I don't think we're a candidate for that this year. But I wouldn't be surprised if your Giants do win the NFC East. Such is the volatility of this division. Let's look more closely at this division, top to bottom. And I want you to put your analyst hat on for me. So, reigning champion Dallas Cowboys. Mike Yam, what is the strength of this team right now?
It's offensive firepower, especially at the wide receiver spot. I mean, CD and Dak are arguably on the short list of one of the best 1-2 punches in the entire NFL. I think the other major storyline is Dak is essentially playing in a prove-it year. There, he is highly motivated. Jerry Jones made news, you know, a couple weeks ago. We had it for you on this podcast and on TA, the broadcast. Dak's not getting that contract extension. We threw it out there. What would need to happen for that to take place? David Carr said, go win a Super Bowl. If that's the bar, which I get is always kind of the bar for a team like Dallas Cowboys, fact of the matter is it's been basically 28 years since that's happened. Like, that's a problem. So I would tell you their strength is a highly motivated Dak Prescott, who was on the short list of the MVP last year with one of the best wide receivers. Hopefully they addressed offensive line, which is still their one of their biggest needs. This is a good offensive line draft class. And who's running out of the backfield this year?
Well, that's a good question to be answered at some point very soon, hopefully for Cowboys fans. But in your estimation, the biggest strength is something illusory. It's not quite tangible. It is motivation. Sure. It is desperation in a what you call a gettable NFC East. What's the weakness? What's the worry?
That they're not going to be able to figure out this offensive line.
Yeah.
You know, you go back 28 years, and we have enough of our friends and colleagues here at NFL Network that played against those Dallas Cowboys teams and understand that even just post what those Super Bowl runs were, they always established everything with being tougher and more physical up front on the offensive line. And the reality is that has not been the case for the last 10, 15 years. You can point to injuries. You can point to a change in demeanor. I don't know what it is, but they got to figure out that aspect of their game. Because if that offensive line is good, we've seen other teams, because of scheme, be able to compensate for lack of a household name in that backfield. So to me, it's still that question. Do they have the pieces? Because to basically make a run in the postseason, there are some teams that I would point to this year, the Jets being one of them, where I felt good about them heading into last year. and now this year feel great. I think the roster for the Jets, for example, is better than last year's roster. Unfortunately, I think Dallas's roster from a year ago is better than the one as of right now that we're going to be looking at in week one.
Very interesting. At their best in the old days, so to speak, Cowboys, yes, defined by a dominant run game. Let's turn to an Eagles team that can say the same recently. When they were at their best in a Super Bowl winning campaign, it was an O-line. Really, it was a D-line, sure, and an O-line. But on the offensive side of things, they have an O-line that, hey, is creating images and silhouettes that we simply haven't been used to, a la the tush push. Is this Eagles team good enough for a run? What is their strength?
I think the Eagles are the favorite. I had them a year ago as the favorite, and here's what I would tell you. There were some deficiencies, and I don't know, because I'm not in that locker room and I don't cover that team in that city, I can't tell you about some of the hearsay and the gossip and the rumors or get the pulse of that locker room. Something is missing there, right? Like, I don't know if you would point to an offensive and a defensive coordinator removed from that Super Bowl team, and that's the reason why there was a collapse. But this roster is still really good. The one issue, and maybe I'm jumping ahead on your question, is what we saw from a defensive standpoint, especially with the linebacking crew and more specifically that secondary. They've addressed that. We can talk about CJ Gardner-Johnson if you want, but to me, the Eagles are still the favorite. They have a guy right now who 2 years ago could have been the MVP and ended up being Mahomes, and it wasn't Jalen Hurts. And they have a guy that they just brought in, highly motivated, who I would make an argument. If you said to me, who's your MVP for this year? It's usually a quarterback. I'll just be different. And I'll tell you, Saquon Barkley's got an opportunity and a chance to be the league MVP this season.
Okay, so Eagles, the class of the outfit, according to Mike Yam, in the NFC East. They are simply a better team, top to bottom. They still have a good roster in spite of results that suggest to us that they're unraveling. No, they still have probably the best roster in the NFC East, rather, even with the retirements of Fletcher Cox and Jason Kelce. What's the biggest worry? What's the biggest weakness? You hinted at it. Is that what you think their biggest problem?
I think it's two things. When you have two veteran guys on your offensive and your defensive lines that are no longer there because of retirement, with Fletcher Cox and obviously Jason Kelce, how do you replace that? That's an issue to me. Now, devil's advocate will tell you that you had two leaders in that locker room and things still spiraled out of control. Maybe it just is what it is. I think the biggest concern that I have is that intangible. I look at the roster. I think it's really good. I don't know enough about that makeup in that locker room, because it's really the only thing that I would point to that explains what we saw down the stretch of last season.
Okay, let's turn now to your New York Giants. We talked a little bit about them at the beginning of the show, but let's get a little bit more granular here. From your perspective as a Giants fan, but also as an NFL analyst and host, what is the good with the Giants?
I feel like the defense is in a pretty good spot right now. Young players, obviously Kayvon Thibodeau, I think, is a budding superstar in the league if he's not already there. The Brian Burns acquisition was big time, and in a lot of ways, I think, solidifies the mentality of what you can expect. Now, Wink Martindale, who's not there, he was their DC, loved to blitz. It didn't necessarily pay dividends last year. I get that. But with Burns and Thibodeau, I feel great about getting pressure on the quarterback.
Without having to blitz.
Exactly. I hate losing McKinney. Xavier McKinney was an unsung hero. Now with the Packers, by the way, I know the Eagles were hot after him. That would have been crazy that McKinney and Barkley both end up there. Thank God that doesn't happen. God, that's the fan comment saying
without
that.
Without a doubt.
That was an involuntary response.
You can't
response.
Get weaker and have your most heated, hated division rival get stronger at your own expense.
That would be a tough pill to swallow. But the reality is, I do feel about the defense, and more specifically the front side of that defense with those two guys.
Okay, that's the good. What's the problem?
Oh, God, offensive line. People will tell you it's playmakers, and I get it. You know, the Giants fans, they'll tell you they want Neighbors or Harrison or Roma Dunze in the draft at 6. Maybe it is a quarterback. I know you've talked about it on this podcast. David Carr has mentioned it. Other people have said, hey, the Giants' willingness to move up for a quarterback. I get all of those things. To me, everything that you do in football centers around what is happening with the offensive line. I think it dictates everything in the game, even what defenses want to do. So I think that's the most important thing. And when you got dudes coming off the bench, literally, who were watching the game on TV and getting thrust into a starting lineup, because that's what happened last year for the Giants. Offensive line has to be fixed.
Washington Commanders, 4 wins last in the NFC East a season ago. And yet, in times of change, there's some anxiety, without a doubt, but there's also some hope. The hope for Commanders fans should come from who? From where? From what?
I think new leadership is helpful.
That
what it is? Right?
Is it that simple?
Yeah. I mean, I saw Dan Quinn make some comments, which would concern me if I was a Washington Commanders fan, because I want a quarterback. But Marcus Mariota right now is QB1 inside that quarterback room. Over $100 million that are spent. Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu, Jeremy Chin, just to name a few. Austin Eckler on the offensive side. So they have some playmakers on both sides of the ball that should help them.
The age of those guys worries me a little bit.
And which tells me, like,
for that price.
But what are we doing, right? Like, that's what worries me. I want to know, because you made a comment. I said, hey, what would you want? And you felt like the team's not a quarterback away.
No.
And yet when I look at the age,
I want to trade. Personally, I want to trade down. I want to stock. I want to team build. I think team building, some people, we talked about this the other day.
Yeah.
Some people team build around a quarterback.
Sure.
If you've got your Patrick Mahomes, then build around him. But if you don't, and they're very rare, then build the team that, like a Brock Purdy situation in San Francisco, Brock Purdy steps into a team that is ready to dominate, that is ready to dominate on both sides of the ball, and for all of his upside, and there's plenty of it. He's a very good quarterback. He's a perfect guy to plug into a team that is ready to go. Well, Washington, you don't have your quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't see the quarterback at two, personally. So build the team that becomes ready to go for the quarterback who either does grow into the job or is available at the perfect time. That's not this year.
Okay, so if that's the case, then what do you do with that pick? Because what Dan Quinn alluded to is what you're saying.
It.
They might not stick at two, and they might trade out. But if that's the case, and I look at the age of some of the guys that I just made reference to, are you trying to win now or are you trying to win down the road? Because if you're trying to win down the road, then should you have spent $105 million?
Well, you're absolutely
dollars?
Right. My take on it actually fights the business in the offseason.
Sure.
So we need to be more in win now mode. So maybe I need to get my head around not trading down, take the best quarterback at two, and let's ride. If I was a Commanders fan, Mike Yam, I'd be most nervous about what?
Look, I think the obvious thing is quarterback, but I will say this. You have reset the organization. New front office, new head coach. And if that's the case, there's time to make mistakes. You don't necessarily feel the pressure to rack up wins right now. And I think with that in mind, that's a win. But still, to me, is the biggest question around, what's the team identity right now? Like, what is the identity of your ball club? And obviously, there's been more investment made on the defensive side with some of these free agent signings, and you brought in a defensive-minded head coach in Dan Quinn. I think the jury's still out on them. I really do.
We'll have a predicted order of finish in the NFC East, courtesy of Mike Yam, coming up shortly. But first, time to let him in. We're opening the doors to the NFL Hall of Fans. Cue the music. Kill the music. NFC East fans only, please. AFC East fans, we're going to get to you next time. What do these fans want to see their teams do in the draft? What is their biggest source of pride? What is their biggest source of concern? And what is their team going to do this year? We got some bold predictions coming up next on NFL Total Access, the podcast.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
You are listening to NFL Total Access, the podcast. Andrew Levy, a shaky-voiced Andrew Levy with NFL Total Access, the broadcast host.
Yelling at kids.
The sweet potato kid, Mike Yam. Do you like the nickname?
Yeah, man. We'll roll. I had a million nicknames. Sweet potato is one of them. Yammer, Yams, Yammy, MFY. So Mother is something. Yeah, that used to get that one too.
It's our countdown to the 2024 NFL Draft presented by Bud Light. April 25th is round one. That's a Thursday on NFL Network, NFLPlus.com. We got you covered on all the NFL platforms. 23 days from round one, we're going team by team, division by division. AFC West and NFC West are in the books. Eight teams down, 24 to go. Today we land on the NFC East. And Mike, before you scoot out of here, let's get your predicted order of finish in the NFC East. Who wins it? Who blows it? What you got?
Eagles won. I still think they're the favorite. They have the best roster in the division.
So the streak of an NFC East without a back-to-back champion continues. Cowboys won it last year. You see the Eagles winning it this year.
I do. I think Barkley is going to be a monster for that football team.
How much does that hurt to say?
Brutal. Look, I'm happy for him. I think the Giants candidly probably didn't necessarily appreciate him or just value other spots on the football field might be the best way to describe it. But I think it's Eagles one. I feel good about what the Giants potentially could do. If Daniel Jones is healthy and they get another playmaker, whether it's Neighbors, Harrison, or Roma Dunze, I'd feel good about that. Got to figure out the offensive line. That got them to Dallas. Dak still scares me. I'll put Dallas at three and the Commanders. Sorry, Drew.
No, please.
Bring it up the rear.
Eagles back on the perch, back on top, according to Mike Yam, as he sees it. What, April, first week of April? Sure. We're a long way off. But right now, Mike says the Eagles are in prime position to win the NFC East. His Giants are in a position to move up a spot and be the runner-up. Runner-up good enough to get a wild card spot?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, why the hell
I'm
not, right? Giants at two, Cowboys three. My Commanders will go back-to-back years in the cellar. So sees Mike Yam. Thank you for today, pal.
Now, no, you're the best, dude.
You got to get out of here. You have
a
show to do.
I have a topical.
You have some friends waiting to get in here as we throw open the doors to the NFL Hall of Fans. Cue the music. Today, we celebrate with those of you who are fans in the NFC East. Cowboys fans in blue and silver. Giants fans with a red, white, and dark blue hue. Some burgundy and gold, repped, of course. And the loudest contingent of all wearing midnight green. NFC East fans strut like kings. And maybe they do so because they are. NFC East is actually the most successful division in NFL history. 22 of the 58 Super Bowls featured a team from the NFC East. 13 of the 58 Super Bowls were won by a team from the NFC East. That's better than 1 in 5. It is the most decorated division in NFL history. By the way, the AFC West is second with 10 titles. KC certainly doing their part to close the gap lately. Something else that the NFC East is that no one else is, triumphant from top to bottom. This is more than a profit-sharing division. This is a burden-sharing division. Every one of you out there who is an NFC East fan can claim at least one season of NFL supremacy. There is no other NFL division in which all four teams have lifted a Lombardi trophy. Dallas leads the way with 5 titles. Let's try and remember that. He says to self, when we criticize the Cowboys' so-called streak of disappointment, yes, it's been, 27, 28 years, but they managed 5 Super Bowls in the 30 years before. Not too shabby. Giants have won 4 Super Bowls. Commanders have 3, 2 of which, incidentally, did you know this? 2 of which came during the only 2 strike-shortened seasons in NFL history. So, you know, you give us fewer games, we'll make the most of it in Washington. And the Eagles, of course, have chipped in with a Super Bowl win as well, making the NFC East a division of parity, you could argue. And this detail actually makes the parity argument better than anything else. No NFL division has gone longer than the NFC East without a champion in back-to-back years. No one's done it since the Eagles had that little mini-streak that ended in 04. That's 20 years of passing the title around in this NFC East, and that's pretty impressive. Now, does that mean that the Eagles, Giants, or Commanders are due? I don't actually know about that. Did you know this, that the NFC East can trace its origins to the year 1967? Then it was called the Capital Division because it had the two nations' capitals inside it. That's what inspired the title, Philly as the OG nations' capital back in colonial and revolutionary times, and of course D.C., the nation's capital since the Residence Act of 1790. We all knew that, right? Anyways, the NFL Capital Division originally had Washington, Philly, Dallas, and an expansion franchise from L.A. That's Louisiana, L.A., called the Saints. And that was the case for a couple of seasons. But then the NFL merged with the AFL back in 1970, and the name changed to NFC East. And the Giants and the St. Louis Cardinals made it a table for five, only three of which could accurately identify as teams in the East, but there you go. Then in 2002, the Cardinals moved to the much more appropriate NFC West after the reshuffle that gave us the current eight-division structure. Okay, enough history. Let's get to the now. We are 23 days from the first round of the NFL draft, so let's start the clock now and continue our countdown in the NFC East, starting with the defending NFC East champion, the Dallas Cowboys. In 2023, the Cowboys were 12-5. That was good for an NFC East division title. They, of course, lost in the first round of the playoffs in that wild card round beatdown at the hands of the visiting Green Bay Packers. They also lost Dan Quinn to their division rival Commanders. Dak Prescott, of course, not offered an extension. That one of the bigger stories of the offseason. Team needs, according to NFL.com, offensive tackle, running back, the inside of the O-line, cornerback, and wide receiver. Not that many picks, only seven with which to address their needs. In the first round, they have the 24th overall pick. They've got a second rounder, a third rounder, a fifth rounder, a sixth rounder, and two picks in the seventh round. With that in our heads, let's open the doors to the Hall of Fame and get some fans in here. Fans like my boss, Kingsley. Got to start with the boss. Kingsley says it will be the perfect draft if we beef up the inside of the O-line. A knowledgeable Cowboys fan, his biggest source of concern, what he calls Dak's inability to finish. I think that's a really good description. His biggest source of pride, a Micah Parsons motor that Kingsley says keeps getting bigger. One of Kingsley's cohorts in charge over here at NFL Media, Chris, says that he sees a draft that requires replacing our departed center, left tackle, and running back, while adding a wide receiver and getting help in the pass rush and at defensive tackle, to which he then added, translation, I'm worried them boys may be screwed. Chris is proudest of past Super Bowl wins that even 30 years on feel pretty damn good. His biggest worry? The front office and the coaching staff, he said. My best friend from all the way back in high school days in Northern Virginia, Scott, said, Andrew, I have a rule that I don't talk about this team until September, as it opens old wounds. But I will break that rule for my dearest friend. Thank you, Scott. I love you, bud. Appreciate that very much. Scotty says it'll be the perfect draft if we can trade Dallas Cowboys relevance for a chip and cash for a conquest. And he's serious. He didn't name check a player he wants. He says his biggest worry is a front office that after 50 years as a fan, Scott has stopped believing in. He doesn't buy that the Cowboys are what they claim to be, quote, all in on winning a title. But he is a proud Cowboys fan, remains so. And his biggest source of pride is a signed Roger Staubach jersey on his wall. I've seen it. It's pretty cool. Staubach, Scott says, did everything the right way and continues to be the best face of the franchise that we've ever had. It is the ghosts of the past that keep Scott coming back for more. Cowboys fan Sydney, right here in this building, said her biggest source of pride is the loyalty through all the highs and the lows that come with being a fan of this team. Even when we are consistent, she said, there is something about this team that keeps me around. And Sydney admitted, look, I was born after the most recent Cowboys Super Bowl victory, but says that she holds on to her team's history with a great deal of pride nonetheless. Free agency losses at the top of her worry list. Signing a long snapper and a linebacker just isn't enough, she worries. She did remind me, we didn't have a terrible season, a decently good season, if you're being honest. How do we keep that momentum? Which, listener, I found very interesting. This is a team totally dogged by some narrative of always falling short. But Sydney's right. There is momentum to be ridden here in Dallas with this Cowboys team. Really, by any winning NFL team. It's hard to win in the NFL, and the Cowboys are a winning NFL team. We just tend not to talk about that fact all that much. For Sydney, it'll be the perfect draft if we get a dang running back. After losing Tony Pollard, she said, we have to rebuild around that position a little bit. Then she added, actually, a lot. Oh, and find a replacement for Tyler Biadasz at center. That would help too. The last question I ask everybody about their team is to finish the following sentence. I wouldn't be surprised if my 2024 Dallas Cowboys did what? Well, in this case, one Cowboys fan said, miss the playoffs and blow the whole thing up. Another said, I wouldn't be surprised if my 2024 Cowboys had another high and low season. History tends to keep repeating itself season after season with my guys. We tend to produce decently well in the season, both on offense and defense, but can never finish it out. A more hopeful note from one fan who says, the NFC Championship game is not out of reach. He said, there's never been a better window to take advantage of play in the NFC than right now. He said, look, it's a two-horse race in the division, and he believes that the NFC winner comes either from the East or the NFC West. And finally, Cowboys fans said, I wouldn't be surprised if the 2024 Cowboys are the best regular season team in the entire league. Dak is on the, quote, bet on myself last year of his deal, and CD and other pieces can compete at a high level. But it will likely be the same outcome with a coach and players that struggle on the big stage. Thank you, Cowboys fans. Let's keep that door open and let some Philadelphia Eagles fans in here. In 2023, this is a team that posted an 11-6 record. Look more closely, though. They finished 1-4 in their last five. That 11-6 record was good for second in the NFC East. They got a fifth seed in the playoff bracket, but lost in that wild card round game to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The postseason news of note, well, of course, Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox retired. NFL.com identifies Eagles' team needs as running back, wide receiver, cornerback, linebacker, and edge rusher. They have eight picks in all with which to address those needs. The 22nd pick of the first round, they have two picks in the second round, one in the fourth, three in the fifth, and one in the sixth. And that takes us to the NFL Hall of Fans, where Eagles fans like Sidney say, draft Kool-Aid McKinstry to help our secondary. We gave up too many passing yards to quarterbacks last year. I think we were last in the league, she said. And James Bradbury had an off season. Nothing like some good training camp competition to push each other to be better. For Sidney, the secondary is primary. Her biggest source of pride right now, having signed Saquon Barkley. And just Howie Roseman, how he does his part to get talented players in the building and on the team. And now it's up to the coaches and players to deliver. Sidney's biggest concern, will we be able to pay Devonta Smith the contract he deserves next year? AJ and Jalen Hurts already on the books with huge contracts. On-field concern, coverage over the middle of the field and at the linebacker depth. We got torched last year, Sidney said, over the middle and could barely tackle. Eagles fan Christy, a former colleague here at NFL Media, says her perfect draft sees a first-round cornerback. There's a theme here, listener. Christy is proudest of how dedicated Eagles fans are to their team. She's proud of how Eagles players appreciate it and embrace their flock of fans. She said Jason Kelce is the perfect example. Christy's biggest worry? Team chemistry after how last season ended and, of course, after losing Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox. Eagles fan LaRosa says it'll be the perfect draft if we select an offensive tackle. His pride comes from a core of veterans like Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson and Brandon Graham and the way that they lead young players, which is why his biggest concern is now asking young players to fill in for those vets. He sees a chance for recent first-round picks, Davis and Carter, to step up and be Pro Bowlers. Eagles fan Chris, old Jenks, says he wants a top-three corner in the draft. There you go. He also says if you have to trade up to get it, then trade up to get it. And make sure to grab a speedy slot receiver in rounds two or three. Chris says he is most proud to say he rooted for a team featuring Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox. He's so proud that those two guys played their whole careers in Philly. He's hopeful for two new coordinators, but he's worried about Saquon's health. Chris says we paid him a lot of money, and we won't win the big games without him. Varying degrees of optimism from Eagles fans I spoke to, who, when asked to finish the following sentence, I wouldn't be surprised if my 2024 Philadelphia Eagles did what? Here's an answer. Season sweep against the Cowboys. Jalen is 3-3 against the Cowboys, but has yet to beat Dak in Dallas. This fan believes that with the addition of Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts gets over that hump and does the double against Dallas. Another fan says, I wouldn't be surprised if we draft an O-lineman in the first round and then find a way to lose to the Cowboys in Dallas yet again. But other Eagles fans see an NFC East title in their future, and others still believe that there is a path to the NFC Championship game. Coming up on NFL Total Access, the podcast, from New York to D.C., there are shouts for serious change. They are loud and they are proud, but what are they actually asking for? What should the Giants do with that sixth pick in the draft? What should the Commanders do at two? You're in the NFL Hall of Fans on NFL Total Access, the podcast, coming right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
You are listening to NFL Total Access, the podcast. Andrew Levy inside the NFL Hall of Fans. Cowboys and Eagles fans have sounded off and then they stormed off, leaving Commanders fans and Giants fans milling about, dreaming of glorious days that were, and maybe dreaming of better days to come. Let's turn now to fans of the New York Giants, who finished third in the NFC East a season ago, their record 6-11. Let's not forget, Daniel Jones was injured. His rep got a little dinged up too, leading to assumptions this offseason that the Giants are looking for his replacement. And yet, team needs, according to NFL.com, no mention of a quarterback, defensive tackle, running back, the inside of their O-line, edge rusher, and cornerback. We'll do the quarterback mentioning. They have six picks in all with which to address their needs. The sixth overall pick, of course, in the first round. They've got a second round pick, a third, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth. With that, let's welcome our first Giants fan into the room. Come on in, Giants fans. Welcome to the NFL Hall of Fans. Let's start with my good buddy Nicole. Used to work here at NFL Media. She's at Amazon now doing Thursday nights in the NFL. A dear friend, a loyal Giants fan, who says that for her, the perfect draft is that the Giants don't go after a quarterback. Cole's message: a lot of money was spent on Daniel Jones, so find him weapons and give him a chance to succeed. She'd love to hear the name Malik Nabers. LSU seems to breed pretty good wideouts, Cole says. She's proudest of the loyalty of this Giants fan base. New Jersey and New York fans are passionate even when it seems there isn't that much to be proud of. Maybe we are just out of our minds, Nicole says, but we come back for more Giants football no matter what the outlook is. Her biggest worry? Well, which version of Daniel Jones she's going to get. But she reminds her fellow G-men that, look, we bolstered the offensive line. If they can stay healthy, then Daniel Jones should have more time. With that, maybe we can see the DJ of a few years back. She said we can't meet the real Daniel Jones if he's constantly being chased down. Former colleague Matt, who's out in Austin, Texas now, says the perfect draft means getting a wide receiver. He prefers Malik Nabers, but just don't take a quarterback at six, he says. We have too many other holes to fill right now. Matt's biggest source of pride is his ability to talk himself into Giants being good at a moment's notice. That's true. Matt was always singing the praises of a Giants team, whether they deserved it or not. He says he hopes Daniel Jones gets healthy. and that we protect him for the first time in his career. He hopes that Evan Neal learns how to not just be a turnstile, and that we have a great pass rush duo in Brian Burns and Thibodeau, with Sexy Dexy in the middle, and that we become the best 7-10 team in the league. Matt's biggest source of concern is expending too many assets to get a QB. If you like your guy, he says, for sure, go get him. But his fear is that no one could possibly succeed on this current roster. So don't waste a pick on a quarterback at 6. Our dear friend Amanda in the social media team here says she wants a wide receiver in the draft for her Giants. Here's looking at you, Malik Nabers, she added. We threw the bank at Daniel Jones, which is something she struggles with. But the guy needs weapons around him desperately. Now, for the record, Amanda added, if we do trade up for a quarterback, I won't be upset. Amanda also says she's proudest of Dexter Lawrence and Kayvon Thibodeau. Sexy Dexy, there's that reference again. Sexy Dexy and Kayvon, Amanda says, are fun to watch. Bright spots on an otherwise dim team. And she is very excited for the addition of Brian Burns. As for concerns, she asked, how much time do we have? That was her first question, quickly followed by questions like, how do you let Saquon walk? Seeing him in an Eagles uniform causes a physical reaction for Amanda. I should think she's not alone. I hope the Eagles lose every single game, Amanda said. She is very concerned about Daniel Jones, too. Got to get him weapons for sure. You hear a lot of that. But she described a lack of trust and faith in Daniel Jones overall. She's worried about Evan Neal, too. There's a familiar thread. Guy's got a long way to go, she said, especially considering all the hype. You New York fans have that in common. You guys don't mind the hype, but man, you hate it when performances don't match the hype. And of course, let's not forget today's special guest, Mike Yam, who wants Marvin Harrison in the draft. He says he gets most of his confidence these days from that defense that he talked about earlier, a defense that now boasts Brian Burns. And he reminded me, we hit a home run with Kayvon Thibodeau. His biggest concern, Mike says, the offensive line. Some will tell you it's playmakers, which is a concern. But the offensive line simply isn't strong enough. And when I asked Giants fans to finish the following sentence, I wouldn't be surprised if my 2024 New York Giants did what? Well, here are a few answers. End up last in the NFC East, one fan said. Another fan went even harder, said, I wouldn't be surprised if we are the worst team in the NFL. He also added ruefully that with Saquon gone, this offense is useless. Wow. One note of hope from Giants fans, and that note of hope, to be cast in the role of villain, not lead. It's an uphill battle, she said, and it's going to take time to figure out who we are offensively. If we stay healthy, and if we give the defense time to rest, we may just be good enough to, at the very least, play spoiler, cause some trouble for a few other teams. And Mike Yam, of course, forever joyful and hopeful, Mike Yam says, I wouldn't be surprised if we win the damn division. And finally, let's welcome into the Hall of Fans a small but earnest contingent of Commanders fans. The Washington Commanders finished last in the NFC East a year ago with a record of 4-13. New ownership, certainly the big story. A new head coach, too, Dan Quinn. A new offensive coordinator in Cliff Kingsbury. A new defensive coordinator in Joe Witt Jr. A word on Joe Witt Jr. for any Commanders fans who don't know. This is the former Cowboys defensive backs coach. And don't forget that while he was with Dallas, Cowboys had 90-plus takeaways during his time with that defense. They led the league in takeaways in 2021 and 2022. Joe Witt Jr.'s secondary was top 10 in three straight seasons when it comes to takeaways. Team needs, according to NFL.com, for the Commanders, quarterback. No surprise there. Edge rusher, wide receiver, the inside of the O-line, and linebacker. The Commanders have 9 picks in all. To address those needs, they have 6 picks in the first 100 picks. Very interesting. The second overall pick in the first round, 2 picks in the second round, and 3 picks in the third. They also have 2 picks in the fifth and 1 in the seventh. Got a call earlier from my dear friend Lindsay, DC native, former colleague here at NFL Media, a Howard alum, a DC sports fanatic. She says that what she wants in the draft, Marvin Harrison. And then to actually throw to Marvin Harrison during the season. Notice the absence of a quarterback for her at number 2. Maybe she's thinking about a trade back scenario. Curious about her vision. Her biggest source of pride as a Washington fan, new ownership. Her biggest source of concern as a Washington fan, new ownership. And she says she wouldn't be surprised if the 2024 Washington Commanders aren't the Commanders for long. That's right, another name change. That is Lindsay's predictions. And I have to admit, I've heard rumors. And finally, this Washington Commanders fan has but one wish for my team in this draft. Make moves for the right reasons. Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt and you too, Mr. Harris. Make the calls that reflect your convictions and your beliefs. Make calls based on good data and study and scouting. And get as close to certainty as you can and then act. Make decisions based on all that. And I'll be happy with whatever names are attached. My biggest concern? Well, it's the wages of change. I wouldn't be surprised if the Commanders struggle again this year, maybe mightily. Maybe not four wins like last season, but mid-single digits. I'm sorry, but that kind of sounds about right. Change is hard. It's hard to galvanize resources and energies and human hopes and physical assets and timing and luck, and it's unlikely that we're going to reinvent ourselves as champions right away. Let's just reinvent ourselves as a better team, better than we were last season, and better each week if we can. And if it goes like that, well, then before too long, we're going to prove to be better on Sundays and Mondays and Thursdays than enough teams to then talk about higher aspirations. I have patience. Most of us NFL fans do. My biggest source of pride, heart-pounding memories of my father and my brother and mom, too, listening to games on the car radio after church, watching downstairs on the color TV in the house. Yes, we had but one. Tossing the Nerf football around at halftime with my brother, John the passer, me the eager wideout, the smell of fireplace smoke in the air, and the hopes and dreams of youth colliding in autumnal perfection. Guys, that's why I love this sport and this league, and yes, my team too. And I know I'm not alone. You love your team just as much as I do, for reasons that are just as personal as mine. So there you have it, the NFC East. I want to thank today's special guest, Mike Yam, the Sweet Potato Kid, for making time for us, as he so often does. Mike Yam, thank you so much. And I want to invite the listener to join us again next time for a closer look at the hopes and the dreams, and yes, the draft needs too, of the Bills and the Jets and the Patriots and the Dolphins. That's right, our countdown to the 2024 NFL Draft continues in the AFC East next time. Till then, thanks for listening, and ciao for now. NFL Total Access is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.